Ite ad Yosef, go to Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is said, and rightly so, that the first time that any worldly power whatsoever raised its arm in persecution against our blessed Savior occurred when he was just a little child. The Magi came from the east to adore him. And when they lost sight of this beautiful and miraculous star of Bethlehem, they inquired of Herod where they might find the tiny king of the Jews. Upon hearing this, Herod was filled with jealousy. He'd already committed many murders in order to keep his throne. And here was this tiny king that he feared would take his own. And he designed that malicious plot to put the Christ child to death. This was the first of many persecutions to be waged against the very one who came to earth merely to show us the way to heaven. Several times in his life, the unfaithful among the Jews attempted to rob this giver of life of his own life. And even his very own priests, what a sad fact to think about. His very own priests, filled with pride, would lift their hands against him. Our Lord's life was a life of persecution. And it would finally end, after 33 years, by his death on the cross. However, the enemies of Christ were not the victors. He would emerge from this final and this worst of all persecutions against his physical body. He would rise glorious, beautiful, and his enemies would fall to the ground dumbfounded. The Roman Catholic Church, and here I am in no way speaking of the Vatican II Church, which has stolen the name of Catholic. I am speaking of the Church which, to this very day, has remained faithful to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ from day one. This Church is the mystical body of Christ. And the mystical body continues to this day the mission of Christ. Just as our Lord came from heaven to earth to teach, rule, and sanctify, so also the Church, the mystical body of Christ, continues his mission to teach, to rule, and to sanctify. The world and all of its forces of Antichrist, just as Herod, will have no part in it. They will not have Christ to rule over them. And so the Church has always been and will always be to the final day of this earth persecuted, even as the Messiah himself was persecuted. But in the end of each persecution, the Church will be victorious and will emerge from each individual persecution more beautiful and more glorious than it ever was before. That is something that we always must remember and that can be proven from history. Let's look at some of the history. There were, of course, the 10 great persecutions against the Church, which lasted around 300 years. And then at the same time, there were also many local persecutions in different towns, for example. And these were so unspeakably vicious that tradition and history says that the number of martyrs during those 300 years is innumerable, uncountable. The Roman martyrology says that the number of martyrs during those three centuries, says that the number of martyrs in Rome alone was 13,825. In Persia, there was 190,000 martyrs. And then in many other cities and villages in that vast empire of Rome, the only thing they could say is the number of martyrs is innumerable. And the methods used in torturing these Christians were brutal. Just read the lives of the saints. Read the martyrs of the Colosseum to see how brutal they were. Saint Cecilia, for example. The law in Rome was this. When you were going to decapitate someone, you only had three chances to strike the head off. Once you've made the third, that was it. For Saint Cecilia, the executioner, who had shaky hands, I guess, struck her neck once and twice. The head was not severed. And a third time, and the head was still attached partially to the body. And then she was left to lay there. The law said they could not take a fourth swing. And for days, Saint Cecilia lay in a pool of blood until she lost her life. That is the strength of the martyrs. But no matter how hard the pagan emperors tried to snuff out the Catholic Church, the church would only grow stronger. I think it was Tertullian who said very famously, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of Christians. The stronger were the persecutions against the church, the more rapidly did the true faith spread. Then secondly, the church, having scarcely any time to recover from those persecutions, was then attacked by the Arian heresy, which denied the very divinity of Christ. The persecution was so widespread that it was said by one man, the whole world groaned and wondered that it was Arian. Bishops, priests, laymen, one by one, defected to Arianism. They betrayed the Catholic Church. And so many fell away that the Catholics became disheartened, and they said, and so that St. Athanasius, in order to encourage them, said, again very famously, even if Catholics faithful to tradition are reduced to a handful, they are the ones who are the true church of Jesus Christ. He said, they might have the premises, they might own the buildings, but we have the faith. And after a long struggle, though, the Catholic Church defeated Arianism. And it was during this time that the Church gave us the Nicene Creed that we will just recite in just a few moments when I go back to the altar. It came from the time of the Arian heresy. Third, we have the attack waged by Julian the Apostate, who brought together all of the powers of pagan philosophy against the Catholic faith, but it was again paganism that disappeared and the Catholic Church that grew. Then we had the barbarians who invaded Rome and were attempting to destroy all of morality and all of religion, but the popes and the bishops and the religious orders converted these barbarians to Catholicism. In the 9th century, yet another persecution, Photius, who started the Greek schism. Even during this persecution, when the schism was ripping apart the mystical body of Christ, just ripping it apart, just like the garments of Christ in the Passion being torn apart by his enemies, the schismatics were tearing the mystical body apart and spreading their errors everywhere. Even during that persecution, the church not only survived, but managed to spread, and spread far and wide. It spread into Southern Europe. At this time, Southern Europe, Scandinavia, Bulgaria, Moravia, Bohemia, Hungary, and even Poland. Then we turn to the Middle Ages. There were so many attacks against the church in the Middle Ages. The Muslims, Turks, first of all, so many times did they wage their jihad against the church. And just as many times as they waged it, they were defeated. The Battle of Lepanto, Pope St. Pius V, and so many others. Then the Albigensian heresy crept in and wreaked such havoc in the world. And what happened? St. Dominic and the Dominican Order rose up. Our Lady gave him the rosary, and the Albigenses were defeated by means of this prayer. And then, also during the Middle Ages, we see many new orders, religious orders established by the church to put down heresy. It was during this time that St. Francis of Assisi lived, St. Dominic lived, St. Thomas Aquinas, I believe also St. Robert Bellarmine, and so many of those saints who have the title of Doctor of the Church. Because heresy was rampant in the Middle Ages, the church was forced to define her doctrines. And so she came out more glorious. It was the golden age of theology. Then during the 15th and 16th century, the Protestant Reformation, Luther and Calvin, intended to reform the Catholic Church according to false and evil principles by saying, absolutely, falsely, that man can be saved by faith alone. Who needs to obey the commandments, they said. You are saved by faith and faith alone. And the heresy spread so quickly and so far that one would have thought that the Catholic Church was finally defeated, that it was finally going to end. And then it was that the Council of Trent was called. Many new orders at this time rose up. The Jesuits, who were great missionaries. We had the Order of St. Vincent de Paul, the order which St. Alphonsus started, and that of St. Paul of the Cross. Missionaries. They left their countries and went into Japan and India and America. And it was at that time that both North and South America received the faith. Then in the 18th century, yet another persecution, the French Revolution. Catholic priests and religious were being put to death time and time again. And yet the church continued to thrive and spread even further into the world, this time into Asia and Africa, again to America and other places. And then let us never forget the persecution that we are living through, the worst that the church has ever seen. You and I are witnessing it today. Souls are being robbed from God by men, modernists, whom St. Pope Pius X say deserve to be beaten with fists. And they are robbing souls from God by giving a false faith, a naturalistic faith. They have stolen our churches. They have taken our seminaries. They have robbed us of vocations to the religious life. Everything that was once Catholic in this world is gone. Catholics who once believed in the Holy Eucharist now believe that it is nothing more than a symbol. Catholics who once regarded life as something sacred now will abort their babies as if the babies were an insect that crawled into the room at the wrong time. And so on and so forth. Vatican II has destroyed so much Catholicism in the world, and the effect of it is all around us in this world. And to make things worse, we have no shepherd to lead us through these trying times. They have even robbed us of our shepherd, the Pope. But the church will survive. The church you will see, maybe not in our lifetime, but we pray anyway that we do, we'll see that the church will emerge from even this persecution more glorious than she ever was before. But let's return for a moment back to the first persecution ever waged against our Lord. Herod sought to put Christ to death, but how was he saved? How was he rescued? St. Joseph, came into the picture. He would take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt, thus protecting the life of the infant Savior. And so it is now, when all seems to threaten the very life of the mystical body of Christ, the Church, we have but to go to Joseph, who is the patron of the universal Church. And he will see to our needs. He will get us through this trying time. And I close finally with a quote from one of the documents of Pope Leo XIII on this subject. The blessed patriarch Joseph looks upon the multitude of Christians who make up the Church as confided especially to his trust. This limitless family spread over the earth, over which, because he is the spouse of Mary and the father of Jesus Christ, he holds, as it were, a paternal authority. It is then natural and worthy that as the blessed Joseph ministered to all the needs of the family at Nazareth and girt it about with his protection, he should now cover with the cloak of his heavenly patronage and defend the Church of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.